CRISPR gene editing is being tested right now in human patients, and the scientific elite are saying the results could revolutionize healthcare. Revolutionize healthcare or destroy the human race. We will see. Also, the crimes of Epstein were just the beginning. He actually hoped to seed the human race with his DNA. We got to talk about all that and more on today's Peck Report. Hey everybody, hope you are doing well today. Let's see, CRISPR gene editing. Now this is always coming and going in the news, but now it's actually being tested in human patients. And this is insane, because as they always do, they're trying to turn this into a positive without looking at the other side of the coin, without looking at the disastrous effects that could come from something like this. This comes from Time Magazine, and it just says the results could revolutionize healthcare. So, of course, they're only going to tell you the good things. They're not going to tell you what dangers might arise. Or if they do, they're going to be severely played down. What dangers might arise? Well, if you have a CRISPR gene-edited person just out there in general population, whatever mutations he or she has in their DNA will be passed down generation to generation, and that spreads like wildfire. It doesn't take long before everybody's infected. And of course, there are callbacks to Genesis 6 and all that with this. But let's look at what Time Magazine says. It says it's only been 7 years since scientists first learned how to precisely and reliably splice the human genome using a tool called CRISPR, making it possible to think about snipping out disease-causing mutations and actually cure once and for all genetic diseases ranging from sickle cell anemia to certain types of cancer and even blindness. Doctors are plunging ahead in search of ways to use the relatively new technology to start treating patients. All right, now first off, if it's something that is purely restorative, that's one thing. But there are those who want to use CRISPR to enhance people. So it's the difference between if you get your leg chopped off and you get a prosthetic, or you get like a robotic leg, there's nothing wrong with that. It's an attempt to restore what was lost. But if you take your leg out on purpose to replace it with a robotic leg that can kick a football across three state lines, then that's a problem. That's enhancing. That's an enhancement. Now, especially when it gets down into the genome, because there is no taking that back. You know, at least with a robotic leg, conceivably, you could remove the leg again if you ever decided that you didn't want it anymore. But to alter the genome, that's something different. That's forever. In China last November, scientist Yanku He stunned and dismayed the genetic community when he announced he already used CRISPR, which many believe still hasn't been proven either safe or effective in human patients, to permanently alter the genomes of twin girls to be immune to HIV infection. His experiment was criticized because he edited the twin cells when they were embryos, therefore ensuring that every one of their cells is now changed, including their reproductive ones, which means their edited genomes can be passed on to their children, despite the fact that experts can't be sure what the long-term effects of such lasting modifications might be. Exactly. Editas Medicine and Allergan recently announced a more acceptable form of gene editing, one that would change genetic defects in cells that don't get passed on to the next generation. They are enrolling patients born with a congenital vision disease into what will be the first test in the U.S. of whether CRISPR can fix a mutation in the cells of a living human body. Other ongoing trials, including one from partners Vertex Pharmaceuticals and CRISPR Therapeutics that is treating blood diseases, rely on treating patients' cells outside of their body and introducing them back into the body, where, in theory, they would outnumber the disease cells. See, this kind of stuff, while it seems like it's perfectly innocent and even humanitarian on the surface, this normalizes the whole CRISPR thing. Most people, when you ask about gene editing and CRISPR, they don't know the difference between restorative and enhancement. They're not going to understand the difference. They're going to put everything into one basket or another. It's either going to be CRISPR good, CRISPR bad. That's it. So this is a way, this is what they will use. This is what scientists will use to normalize the whole idea of CRISPR. So that if this stuff is accepted, if the restorative stuff is accepted, then all the rest of it's going to be accepted too. Because to most people, it's going to seem like it's all the same thing. It's not. It's not the same thing. There are very big differences here. But again, just the way our world works, you can't really pick and choose pieces of it. It's all or none. So I think that the better case, you know, the better thing to do would be none, because there are still other treatments for these diseases that we could look into. Most people don't want to look at homeopathic things and stuff like that, but there's plenty of alternatives that could be studied, could be looked into, but government intervention is preventing it. So that's a problem. In the Editas study, CRISPR will be introduced directly into the eye, where it will repair the genetic mutations in the patient's vision cells and potentially cure them of their disease. The illness, called Leber congenital amaurosis 10, or LCA10, is caused by a single mutation in the CEPT90 gene, which is critical for building the outer portion of photoreceptor cells that sense and translate light into signals that travel through the optic nerve and into the brain, where they are interpreted as sight. The mutation prevents the photoreceptors from sensing light, which contributes to low vision or blindness. The fact that LCA10 is a single gene disease makes it an ideal target for early CRISPR therapies. Scientists can design CRISPR to act as molecular scissors to snip a cell's DNA in specific predetermined location, in this case around the aberrant CEP290 gene, and remove it. Without the mutation, the normal protein can be made and the photoreceptor cells can function as they should. Now that all sounds fine, right? It's just removing a mutation. The mutation shouldn't be there. So it's just removing a mutation, similar to how you would remove a tumor that shouldn't be there. I actually don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is all the other stuff that's going to get lumped in with that. Because what's going to happen is we'll say, okay, well, let's do this. That's fine. Well, now they're going to start lumping in enhancements. They're going to start lumping in things that are just totally unnatural. It's not removing something that's unnatural, like removing the mutation that shouldn't be there. It's going to turn into adding things that weren't naturally there to begin with. And that's what makes me worry about it. What is the logical conclusion to this stuff? You know, the logical conclusion to like homeopathic therapies and like that kind of stuff, there's no way you can like overdo it like in a really dangerous way, because all it is it's like vitamins and supplements and stuff. It's nutrients that you're taking in anyway, and it's just different. It's different therapies and things like that. There's no way to overdo that in a dangerous way that could wipe out the human race, you know. But with things like this, there is. It starts with just removing mutations, which again, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. But it starts with that. Where does it lead? It leads to adding enhancements, supposed enhancements. And look, everything has a cost. Everything in life has a cost. If you have an enhancement somewhere, you're going to have a deficit somewhere else. That's just how everything in life works. You know, think about it. When you work out, you don't just build muscle. You got to go through a lot of pain and stuff beforehand while your muscles are healing. You literally got to rip your muscles apart before they can grow back stronger. There's a cost to everything. So that's where I have the issue. Charles Albright, chief scientific officer of Editas, says, quote, "We are going in and cutting out the mutation. Hopefully that will restore the normal protein to normal levels and let patients sense light again. And that sensation of light can turn into vision," end quote. If I was confident that scientists were just going to stop there and just say, look, let's only use this technology to remove things that aren't supposed to be there, I would be totally fine with it. I would be totally fine with it, but it's obvious that this is going to get abused. Now, they'll say, well, we have to do it this way. There's no other way. If it wasn't for government intervention, then there would be other areas of study and research. There would be more homeopathic things that people could look into. There would at least be a lot more research on it. A lot of scientists want to say that stuff doesn't work. Well, okay, let people research it then. Get government intervention out of it. You know, I said this before, that I'm all for freedom. And people might say, well, why aren't you for freedom for this? You know, you can't just tell them not to do it because of what might happen in the future. Well, normally I'd agree, but the reason that they feel like they have to do it this way is because there are ridiculous restrictions imposed on by the government. It's because of a lack of freedom. So the problem isn't, okay, well, let them do this one thing that the government's going to allow them to do while continuing to allow the government to be oppressive towards other medical research areas and avenues. The solution is give everybody freedom to research what they want to research and see what works the best. Just do that, because right now you don't have it. Right now, people who are into homeopathic remedies or who actively are trying to do research or get information out, they're being suppressed. Even on this channel, we've tried to tell you about things like kratom, and we've tried to give you all the scientific information about it, all the actual statistics, not the fake news that goes out, from news agencies today, but the actual real reports, and YouTube deletes it. So voices are being suppressed. That is a problem. So it's not about giving these people freedom. It's the reason that they're doing it this way is because, you know, all the government agencies that are involved in medical research are saying that this is the only part of medical research that's allowable. So it's a lack of freedom. So I think the solution is more freedom. And then we won't have to rely on stuff like this, because I bet you there are other ways to cure these diseases without having to alter people's genes. So it says, scientists agree that CRISPR holds great promise in giving researchers unprecedented power to snip out abnormal stretches of DNA, but there are still significant questions about how safe and effective CRISPR gene editing will be once it's unleashed in the human body. CRISPR works well enough in the lab, in a dish of human cells, but as with any technology, there are glitches. Some studies have shown that the gene editing goes awry once in a while, splicing incorrect places in the genome. Oh, great. Then there is the bigger question of what longer-term unanticipated effects man-made edits to the human genome might have. But if the CRISPR gene editing works, it would be a one-time fix for a genetic disorder that currently can't be treated at all. Again, why can't it be treated? Because other avenues aren't even considered. They're not allowed. There's a scientific so-called consensus about this kind of stuff that doesn't allow for any other areas. They're not going to get the funding they need. They're not going to get any of that stuff if they want to explore alternative treatments. So that's why it's not that there just are no solutions. There's plenty of solutions. It's just those solutions are not allowed to be tested and advanced. So, okay. Stephen Schwartz, professor of ophthalmology at the University of California, Los Angeles Stein Eye Institute, who is not involved in the study, says, quote, this is a super cool idea and it has a ton of potential, end quote. I don't know why they had to include that quote in there. There really wasn't a lot to add. That didn't add a lot. The genetic editing would essentially eliminate the genetic mutation that these people have been born with, and depending on how early the treatment is given, could not only restore but possibly preserve their vision. Some children with the condition are born with limited sight and eventually go blind, so Editas and Allergan plan to eventually include children as young as 3 years old in the study if the first doses appear safe. So experimenting on three-year-olds if the first doses appear safe. Does anybody else see a problem with that? Does anybody else see an issue? And look, I'm somebody that actually does suffer from a genetic degenerative bone disease. So, like, I understand how great it could be if something like that is cured. But again, I believe that there are other treatments, there are other ways that could be explored if people were given the freedom to do so. But instead, you have the government corralling and like herding the scientific community in this one specific direction because they know where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to directed evolution, to human enhancement, to making ourselves into our own gods. That's ultimately what this is all about. And that's why the government only has an interest in this one specific avenue of study. Because homeotherapy, like all these other alternative therapies, they don't lead that way. They do not lead to people becoming more than human. They lead to just people becoming human. You know, they lead to creating an environment within your body that was always supposed to just be human. you know, giving it the nutrients that it was created to need, all of that stuff. But they don't want that because human isn't good enough. They want godhood, and this is where it's headed. Says the trial will hopefully answer many questions, could be critical for the future of CRISPR-based therapies. Studying the technique in patients will give doctors clearer answers about dosing the therapy as well as potential side effects. Albright says the treatment will be provided during outpatient surgery, in which the surgeon will inject the molecular gene editing machinery under the retina. The CRISPR mechanics will be encased in a deactivated adenovirus, built specifically to deliver its splicing payload to photoreceptor cells. Even if they unload the CRISPR into other cells, says Albright, it's not biologically dangerous since the gene is only miscoded in the photoreceptor cells. I don't know how they could say that when it's been admitted before that these things glitch out from time to time. And if that happens, it's not just going to affect that one person. Like, look, if you get a pacemaker and it glitches out, it's really only going to affect the person who has the pacemaker. It's not going to affect their children and their children's children and generations to come. It's just going to affect that one person. Still not good. It's still not good, but it's not a detriment to the human race. It says, to track if the CRISPR did its job, the research team will assess the patient's vision with a special test designed for those with low vision and will record video of the patients working through a maze in which they have to avoid obstacles and heed instructions such as stop signs. The scientists also plan to use imaging to try and track whether the photoreceptor cells have actually been rebuilt. The trial is just one of a few underway to test the powerful CRISPR technology around the world. One of the most promising, for example, is whether gene editing can treat and effectively cure blood disorders such as beta thalassemia and sickle cell anemia. And then it goes on from there. But again, and if you want to look at this story, you can check out time.com and find it. But again, I would be totally fine with this type of thing if this is all that it was, and if they weren't doing it on children. I know parents can consent, but is it really informed consent? How could it be informed consent unless you're a scientist yourself? How could you possibly hope to get your head around any of this unless you're actually a scientist? So, you know, the informed consent thing, I don't know how that would even be possible. And of course, the scientists wanting to do this are going to shed it in the best light possible. I don't like that they're going to be testing it on kids and giving kids hope. I, you know, that could turn out to be really detrimental, not only to them, but their own children and their children's children. The human experimentation stuff, I don't like. If it was only removing mutations, that's it. And it was tested on consenting adults, preferably older ones who are done having kids, you know, just to be sure, then I'd probably be a little bit more comfortable with it. But it's not only going to be this. Even with all those stipulations, it's going to lead somewhere else. It's going to lead to human enhancement. And we know that for sure because there is a whole transhumanist movement that talks about exactly that, using this type of technology to enhance the human race into something more than human. And that has all sorts of problems with it that we've talked about in other videos, and you can find them in other PEC reports and things that we've talked about. I specifically wanted to focus in on this CRISPR technology, what it's being used for. Again, if it was only for removing mutations, I'm all for it. That's great. But you know, it's not going to end there. I would like to know what you think. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below. Am I way off base? Am I onto something? I want to know what you have to say about it. Please leave me a comment. Hey, while you're there, we got a couple of links to tell you about. So I am a chronic pain sufferer, as I said. And I take CBD every day. I have actually noticed that this has helped with some of my pain because I also take Kratom every day. But since doing CBD, I haven't had to take as much Kratom, which is nice. CBD Pure and CBD Pets makes the absolute purest, most organic available today CBD on the market. And they offer a money-back guarantee, so there is no risk to you. They test every batch through a third-party testing facility, so you know you have pesticide-free, non-GMO, totally organic CBD, and they prove it by showing their scientific results on their website. So you can check it out. Click on the link in the description below or go to dailyrenegade.com to pick up the best CBD you will find on the market today. While you're there, check out our friends at Coastline Kratom. They also offer a money-back guarantee. I take Kratom every day to get through my chronic pain, and it works out great. I used to be hopelessly addicted to narcotics because that was what the doctor gave me, but no longer. Now I know I don't have to be just another statistic involved in the opioid crisis that our country is currently facing. I started taking Kratom. I feel a lot better. I got my life back. I'm able to hold down really two full-time jobs, plus be a father of four and a husband of one, obviously. So Coastline Kratom is great. Again, they offer a money-back guarantee. Do your own research. I've always told people that they should do that. You can go to dailyrenegade.com and find the banner, or you can click on the link in the description below. Now, with Coastline Kratom, you do have to set up a Zelle Pay account, but that's okay. They put it right on their website. They make it super easy, so it's not that big of a deal. You do have to do that, though. But they also have, you can pay with cryptocurrency if you wanted to as well. Okay, so now to everybody who's watching this for free, if you find this useful, please share this video around. YouTube doesn't, like, suggest my videos to anybody anymore, and they don't notify my subscribers when a new video goes up. So, you know, we get like between 1,000 and 2,000 views per video, which, you know, it might seem like a lot on the surface, but when you have nearly 70,000 subscribers, by the way, growth has been absolutely stagnant because of that, because YouTube does not go, they don't do what they used to. It's not a fair place to post videos anymore. And so please share our videos and also consider becoming a member of Daily Renegade. Daily Renegade was invented because of YouTube censorship. Video creators will never be censored on Daily Renegade. So we have about a dozen original shows, Peck Report just being one of them. You can get all of those shows in their full majesty and glory if you are a member at dailyrenegade.com. Gary Wayne, author of Genesis 6 Conspiracy, has a show called The Christian Contrarian. We also have a show by Ryan Peterson called Beginning and End. You can only find these at dailyrenegade.com. Again, there's about a dozen shows right now. We're also building... we're making some big strides in the advancement of a new of building the new website. So things have been a little stagnant lately, but that's okay. I have recently made a couple of decisions, and things are going full steam ahead. You're going to be blown away how fast this progresses. So dailyrenegade.com. It's only $10 a month. It's $100 a year, one or the other. I suggest doing the $100 a year because then you get 2 months for free. And you just have to pay for it once, and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. That is a great deal. DailyRenegade.com. Consider becoming a member today, and you won't regret it. All right, everybody. Well, for those viewing for free, we're going to say goodbye to you, and thank you so much for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Click the bell for notifications. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us everywhere. And again, please become a member. To members only, hang on the line and we will get to the story about Epstein hoping to seed the world with his DNA. Disgusting. All right, we got to talk about that. All right, everybody. Everybody who's viewing for free, thank you so much. Until next time, take care and God bless. Okay, members only. Thank you for your membership. Thank you for joining us and being a member. So if you've been following this Jeffrey Epstein case, which, by the way, has gotten buried now because of, a bunch of the mass shooting. And you can see why we can't talk about this on YouTube. YouTube would just rip the video down and give us another strike on our account if we even mention this stuff. But this story has been totally buried. But here's some of the latest stuff. So apparently... Epstein hoped to seed the human race with his DNA, talking about genes and gene editing and DNA and stuff. So Jeffrey Epstein, New York Times reported on this, the wealthy financier who is accused of sex trafficking had this really unusual hope or wish or dream. He hoped to seed the human race with his DNA by impregnating women at his vast New Mexico ranch. So Epstein, over the years, confided to scientists and others about his scheme, according to four people familiar with his thinking, although there's, as far as right now, there's no evidence that this actually came to fruition. But his vision reflected his longstanding fascination with what has become known as transhumanism. That's right. Epstein is a transhumanist. the science of improving the human population through technologies like genetic engineering and artificial intelligence. Critics have likened transhumanism to a modern-day version of eugenics, the discredited field of improving the human race through controlled breeding. Now, Epstein, who was charged in July with the sex trafficking of girls as young as 14, was a serious illusionist. He lied about the identities of his clients, his wealth, his financial prowess, and his personal achievements, but he managed to use his connections and charisma to cultivate valuable relationships with business and political leaders. So interviews with more than a dozen of his acquaintances, as well as public documents, show that he used the same tactics to insinuate himself into an elite scientific community, thus allowing him to pursue his interest in eugenics and other fringe fields like cryonics. This stuff just attracts the most evil of people. Lawyers for Epstein, who has pled not guilty to the sex trafficking charges, did not respond to requests for comment. Mr. Epstein attracted a glittering array of prominent scientists. They included Nobel Prize-winning scientist Murray Gell-Mann, who discovered the quark, the theoretical physicist and best-selling author Stephen Hawking, the paleontologist and evolutionary biologist Stephen Jay Gould, Oliver Sacks, the neurologist and best time-selling author George M. Church, a molecular engineer who has worked to identify genes that could be altered to create superior humans, and the MIT theoretical physicist Franz Wilczek, a Nobel laureate. The lure for some of these scientists was Mr. Epstein's money. He dangled financing for their pet projects. Some of the scientists said that the prospect of financing blinded them to the seriousness of sexual transgressions and even led to them giving credence to some of Mr. Epstein's half-baked scientific musings. See, this is why I said I was against this stuff in the beginning. And that's why I'm glad that you guys are members, because you as members can get this stuff that we can't talk about on YouTube. It's because this is where this stuff leads. You know, it starts with, oh, it's just humanitarian stuff. We just want to remove mutations. You're a terrible person if you don't support that. Okay, well, look where it leads. All of a sudden, you got this sex trafficking, child-raping pervert, and he's got these scientists in his pockets trying to advance the transhumanist cause. I don't know for sure, but I haven't seen any transhumanist disavow this guy. I haven't seen it. Scientists gathered at dinner parties at Mr. Epstein's Manhattan mansion, where Dom Perignon and expensive wines flowed freely, even though Mr. Epstein did not drink. He hosted buffet lunches at Harvard's program for evolutionary dynamics, which he had helped start with $6.5 million donation. Others flew to conferences sponsored by Epstein in the United States Virgin Islands and were feted on his private island there. Once the scientists, including Mr. Hawking, crowded on board a submarine that Mr. Epstein chartered, even Steven Pinker, the Harvard psychologist, said he was invited by colleagues, included Martin Nowak, the Harvard professor of mathematics and biology, and the theoretical physicist Lawrence Krauss, to salons and coffee clatches at which Mr. Epstein would hold court. You know, Lawrence Krauss is one of these guys who says very ignorantly that he has said on the Joe Rogan podcast before that literally religion has offered humanity nothing. At least a sense of morality. I mean, Lawrence Krauss, the guy that's going to be hanging out with that's hanging out with Epstein, is gonna lecture us on the merits of religion. That religion has offered us nobody while he's hanging out with Epstein and going to parties and salons and coffee clatches, whatever that is, hosted by Epstein. Yeah, see, this is why I can't stand this stuff, because this is where it always leads, and it leads to the hypocrisy of the worst kind. Lawrence Krauss, by the way, he might be a brilliant physicist, but he is a very ignorant human being. Okay, while some of Mr. Pinker's peers hailed Mr. Epstein as brilliant, Mr. Pinker described him as an intellectual imposter. So Pinker said, quote, he would abruptly change the subject ADD style, dismiss an observation with an adolescent wisecrack, end quote. Another scientist cultivated by Epstein, Jaron Lanier, a prolific author who is a founder of virtual reality, said that Mr. Epstein's ideas did not amount to science in that they did not lend himself to rigorous proof. then why were these scientists messing around with this guy? Why? Because he has money and he has funding, and they know that this is how they get their projects funded. That's why I can't stand how the government is corralling and herding all scientists into one avenue, into this CRISPR stuff, into this human enhancement stuff, because then evil people like Epstein gets to pull the strings. Mr. Lanier and Epstein had once hypothesized that Adams behaved like investors in a marketplace. Mr. Lanier said that he had declined any funding from Epstein and that he had met him only once after Epstein in 2008 pleaded guilty to charges of soliciting prostitution from a minor. Epstein was willing to finance research that others viewed as bizarre. He told one scientist that he was bankrolling efforts to identify a mysterious particle that might trigger the feeling that someone is watching you. What? At one session in Harvard, Mr. Epstein criticized... This stuff would be... If he wasn't rich, this stuff would be laughed out of the scientific community. Just outright laughed out of it. Nobody would take somebody like this seriously. It's only because he had money. It's not because of morality, like Lawrence Krauss wants to be the moral arbiter for the rest of us. Him, if you caught my multiverse episode, I think like a year ago, he was the one that was lecturing everybody on the doomsday clock. We're like 2 minutes to midnight on the doomsday clock if we don't do something about the environment. Yeah, I'm not going to take any moral advice from a person like that. At one session at Harvard, Epstein criticized efforts to reduce starvation and provide health care to the poor because doing so increased the risk of overpopulation, said Mr. Pinker, who was there. Mr. Pinker said he had rebutted the argument, citing research showing that high rates of infant mortality simply caused people to have more children. Jeez. Mr. Epstein seemed annoyed, and Harvard colleague later told Mr. Pinker that he had been voted off the island and was no longer welcome at Mr. Epstein's gatherings. Then Epstein also had an interest in eugenics. So on multiple occasions, starting in the early 2000s, Epstein told scientists and businessmen about his ambitions to use his New Mexico ranch as a base where women would be inseminated with his sperm and would give birth to his babies, according to two award-winning scientists and an advisor to large companies and wealthy individuals, all of whom Mr. Epstein told about it. It was not a secret. The advisor, for example, said he was told about the plans not only by Epstein at a gathering at his Manhattan townhouse, but also by at least one prominent member of the business community. One of the scientists said Epstein divulged his idea in 2001 at a dinner at the same townhouse. The other recalled Epstein discussing it with him at a 2006 conference that he hosted in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. So the idea struck all three as far-fetching and disturbing, obviously. There's no indication that it would have been against the law, though. At one dinner at the Epstein mansion in Manhattan's Upper East Side, Lanier said he talked to a scientist who told him that Epstein's goal was to have 20 women at a time impregnated at his 33,000-square-foot Zorro Ranch in a tiny town outside Santa Fe. Lanier said the scientist identified herself as working at NASA, but he didn't remember her name. According to Lanier, the NASA scientist said Epstein had based his idea for a baby ranch on accounts of the repository for germinal choice, which was to be stocked with the sperm of Nobel laureates who wanted to strengthen the human gene pool. Only one Nobel Prize winner has acknowledged contributing sperm to it. The repository discontinued operations in 1999. Lanier, the virtual reality creator, said he had the impression that Epstein was using dinner parties, where some guests were attractive women with impressive academic credentials, to screen candidates to bear Epstein's children. Epstein did not hide his interest in tinkering with genes and in perpetuating his own DNA. So one adherent of transhumanism said that he and Epstein discussed the financier's interest in cryonics, which is an unproven science in which, you know, people's bodies are frozen to be brought back to life in the future. Really, it's a bunch of frozen dead bodies. But Epstein told this person he wanted his head and his male organ to be frozen. Southern Trust Company, Mr. Epstein's Virgin Island Incorporated business, disclosed in a local filing that it was engaged in DNA analysis. Calls to Southern Trust, which sponsored a science and math fair for children in the Virgin Islands in 2014, were not returned. In 2011, a charity established by Epstein gave $20,000 to the World Transhumanist Association, which now operates under the name Humanity Plus. You know, it's the H plus symbol that you see every now and then. The group's website says that its goal is to deeply influence a new generation of thinkers who dare to envision humanity's next steps. Mr. Epstein's foundation, which is now defunct, also gave $100,000 to pay the salary of Ben Gortzel, vice chairman of Humanity Plus, according to Gortzel's resume. Alan Dershowitz, a professor emeritus of law at Harvard, recalled that at a lunch Mr. Epstein hosted at Cambridge, Massachusetts, he steered the conversation towards the question of how humans could be improved genetically. Dershowitz said he was appalled given the Nazis' use of eugenics to justify their genocidal effort to purify the Aryan race. So this stuff just goes on and on and on and on. Again, there's a very long article in the New York Times if you want to see the rest of it, but that's basically the gist of it. That's why I can't stand this stuff, because they hide behind humanitarian efforts, but what's really going on is exactly this. What's really going on is the abuse of the hatred of humans. You have to really hate humans to try to turn a human being into something else that they were never meant to be. Hatred of humanity, total disrespect for innocence of children and things like that. That's why I can't stand this stuff. But it's important that we know where this stuff leads. So that is why I am absolutely opposed to everything CRISPR, because again, it's not going to stop at just removing mutations. If it was just that, I'd be on board, but it's not just that. It turns into stuff like this. And I think the Epstein case is just one of many pieces of evidence to support that claim. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for your membership and for joining me. I hope that you all have a great weekend. I think by the time that you're watching this, it's the weekend or it's just past the weekend. But either way, I hope things go well. Thank you so much. And thank you for your membership. Until next time, take care. God bless.